Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another lovely episode of the best darn show on the internet, is what we say. I tell you what. And if you don't agree yet, maybe you will after the end of this episode.
Getting better and better every day.
That's right. Week. Welcome back to the Oversharon Show. Today we have no guests. It's just Sharon and I. So you get to enjoy the lovely musings of myself and my great friend Sharon. We're going to open up today's episode with a quote like we always do. Today's quote is, "With friends, you grow wings. Alone, you are a single feather in disgrace."
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, that's really good. That's by Rumi, allegedly.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, I am shuffling the Luna Soul tarot deck. And let's see what source wants to tell us today.
And as we record, it's a full moon right now. So you guys are going to be seeing this 1 week from when we record this. So it's very fitting that you're using the Luna Soul deck. And there's so much going on with the full moon. Did you know that it was actually hiding Mars? Yeah, so Mars was behind the moon, or however you want to look at it with your cosmology, and Mars is actually in retrograde. So if you guys been feeling a little weird or just something different in the air, I think that's has a lot to do with what's going on up in the sky clock. You know, Mars is all about, it's like the god of war, and the fact that it's retrograde, it's going in reverse, it's kind of giving people some different challenges.
I had to pull this out because
is that the five?
I mean, this is the card that came. This is the card I pulled.
Is that the five of wands? Oh wow, we've been talking about fives recently.
We have,
and this is a great card because especially when you look at it in the Rider-Waite, it's like a bunch of kids playing. It looks like they're fighting each other, but if you look closely, it looks like they're trying to make a five-pointed star. And the way that I like to look at it is, wands, you know, they represent magic and creativity and fire. And five is the point where it's like a little unsteady. So everything's kind of going on. But what's going on is, and what a lot of times people can't see, is what you're actually building. So sometimes when you're fighting or play fighting or roughing around or, you know, having disagreements and stuff like that, you could be building the foundations for something very powerful, you know, and that's what I see is going on here.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the whole building energy going on with this too. And the little bit of chaos when you said, Mars, and then you know, the moon is hiding Mars. I don't know. I just thought about how this card seems pretty relevant.
You want to show it again? I have you highlighted so this way people can get a really good look at it. Yeah. You see, so looks like there's different hands, and I like how it's showing like different colors, so you could look at it as just different people, different cultures, stuff coming together, and looks like they are trying to build something. So if you're coming off of the four, you have that solid foundation, and then you want to go forward and build on top of it, and that's what this guy's trying to do. He's trying to figure out how he's going to get his wand in there and make it harmonious with the other wands.
Yeah, shout out to Caribe Root Bear, who asked about this in the Oversharon chat. She asked about the number five and what it represents. And so I gave her a little example of the four stability of a table with, you know, four legs. And then the five is kind of like the fifth wheel, and you got a little bit of chaos going on, but it's not a bad thing.
Yeah, no, it's just the cycle, right? You go even, uneven, or even, odd. And speaking of Caribe, shout out to everybody in the chat. Thank you guys for coming and joining us. We're going to be talking about a lot of things that we've talked about previously on the Oversharon Show. So to people who have been watching us for a while, none of this is going to be anything new, but I think you guys will enjoy it. And it's a good time to refresh it. And we're going to be talking today about division, because I've been seeing a lot of different division lately amongst, you say, groups of people, or like content creators, and you
communities,
know,
communities, people that are
there's
in
a lot
circles.
of different circles. Yeah, exactly. And there's a lot of even old stuff that's being brought up, you know, between different people that we all listen to and we all get information from. And it seems like people are starting to kind of draw sides or whatever like that. So, of course, we're going to talk about division because, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, I think a lot of this comes from misunderstanding. And, you know, it's funny because throughout my life, I've said this recently, too. I've always been the kind of person who has had friends that would get into a fight, but I remain friends with both of the people. Sometimes it gets a little awkward and
we're diplomatic.
Yeah.
You rising Libra, you.
Yeah. I think it has a lot to do with this, the idea of Libra and the logic. Because I what I've heard recently, too, is Libras, because my rising sign is Libra and Sharon's sun sign is Libra. It has a lot to do with logic over emotions and looking at things logically and not so much from an emotional standpoint. And, you know, not that I think that's the right way to do it. That's just how my brain is wired. I feel like we all have our gifts to give. And sometimes I might be lacking in the emotional department, or, you know, I might not look at people's feelings as much. And maybe that's why I'm able to see through some of these lines of division, because I'm not using the emotional parts of my brain. Whereas somebody who does, we could still learn stuff from them. So we're not trying to like say we're better than anybody. I mean, we're totally better than everybody. Just kidding. But that's just kind of how we look at it. And what we always tell people is we're like aggregators of information, and we are like pattern. We recognize patterns. So we just put them together for people, and then they can do it them what they will. So if there's anything you disagree with, or there's any points that we might have missed, just comment below. And if you're in the chat, you know, shoot up a comment. That's the best way really to support us, is to come to our live streams every Thursday night at 8:33 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. There or about is usually when we do it. And we have a nice little chat. And it really is a good time. I mean, another shout out to our chat. We always have really interesting people. It's not always the same people, but there's always people coming in, and they always have really nice things to say. So I really appreciate that.
Grace us with their presence.
Yeah. And this is what we do, right? We look at the world, we look at what's going on around us, and we try to comment on it and just to give our point of view, which sometimes is different than a lot of other people's point of view. Sometimes it's the same. But, you know, a lot of what's been going on lately is, like I said, I think it's kind of like a misunderstanding of people's points of view. And then a lot of times, you know, take, for example, Owen Benjamin or James True or Crow777. You know, I'm sure if you watch this and you're fans of any of them, you might have been hearing of drama and all this stuff going on recently, where I'm friends with people who are fans of all them. And I see that we have so much in common, so much in common. And sometimes the person who is the disseminator of the information, I mean, nobody's perfect, right? Everybody has what we talk about, like ego and their own points of view and their own ways of looking at the world. So sometimes these people, who are these people? Sometimes people, they'll express their opinion. Seinfeld? What's that?
That sounded very Seinfeld.
Yeah. Who are these people? What's the deal with airplane food? So what happens is people who follow them, they feel like they have to agree with every single thing that this person says or they do. And they'll also, you know, they'll just be like, well, you know, he said this, she said that, this person's terrible because of this point of view that they have. And what I like to remind people is we all have our own unique worldview because of everything that we went through. So a great example of it would be like the Bible. You know, sometimes people take the Bible literally. Sometimes people look at it as it's just symbolism and it's talking about stories that are going on in the stars. And there's these ancient stories and, you know, it's none of it's real. Like Jesus wasn't a real person who walked the earth. And then people like Sharon and I like to say, you know, maybe it's all that. This is a really crazy realm that we exist in. And we just really, we don't know. And, You know, I think I could also talk about how some of the success that we've been having as far as talking about Realm Earth. You know, it seems that nobody really gets triggered when we talk about Realm Earth, which is a good place to start, because, you know, you have people who think we're on a spinning ball. You have people who are flat earthers. You have simulation theory people. And we always talk about how all three of those points of view come from a place of materialism. And we like to call it a realm, which it's kind of cheating, but, you know, it's fine. I like it, because really what it does at the end of the day is it's just, we're just acknowledging that we don't know, that there's a great mystery. We exist in some kind of realm, which we can't exactly explain. And I feel like we shouldn't be able to explain it, because we are part of it, just like we're part of the collective consciousness. And a lot of times we think that we know better than other people, and there's like sheep, and everybody's like going along with this 2020 nonsense, and how dare they, and we get mad at them. But what we don't realize is we are still part of this collective consciousness. We're still plugged in, and we can't really point our fingers, because we're at the end of the day, we're just pointing our fingers at ourselves. And this doesn't mean that you can't have discernment. It doesn't mean that you can't make better judgments than people around you, and you could do different things. You don't have to go along with the crowd, but it's more about how you look at it internally. You know, are you taking it personally, what everybody's doing? Or are you kind of just doing your own thing and trying to be a example for other people, you know?
Yeah, I like what you said about we don't know, because it really is a very humble place to be. It levels everything out. And we talked about a lot of this stuff that we're going to talk about today, not all of it, but we're just bringing it back up. But we talked about some of this stuff in episode 11. And we talked about the ego and how the ego comes into all of this. But it, like when you said, we don't know, it just reminded me of that, because and it's the ego that wants to be like, I know that it's a flat plane. I know that it's this. I know that it's that. And do you really? I mean, does anybody really know anything? You know, it's a humble place to be when you don't know. And it's, you can, like you said, not take things personally when you're in that space of like, I really don't know. And in the grand scheme of things, does it really matter? Like, because would I rather have a friendship with this person based on the things, and we talked about this as well, would I rather have a friendship with this person based on the things that we do have in common, based on the things we do like about each other, based on their good character, versus like, oh, we disagree on this point. Right.
Yeah. Anyway. No, that's really important, because I feel like, you know, there's different ways to look at this whole experience that we're having. Right. And there's some people who are the ones that are like at the tops of these, I guess we could just say pyramids and structures. Right. And they're the ones that are coming up with all these crazy things like Event 201 and all these plans and, like, you know, smart cities, and everybody gets worried about like Agenda 2030 and all this stuff that's going on. So there's this line of division, and there's a lot of people who are trying to spread information about it and talk about it in their own unique way. And I'm glad that you brought up the ego, because I think it's a good time for us to define what we actually mean by ego. So many words just have so many meanings, right? And that's why we prefer symbolism, because a symbol is up to somebody else's interpretation. But the way that I like to define ego would be, it's a part of yourself, right? It's a part of your brain that is kind of represents the, I guess you could say, the collective conscious. So anytime you are going to go against something like that, or anytime you want to stand up and do your own thing, say you don't want to get a, you know, you want to start your own way to support yourself in the world, and you want to start a business or whatever, and there's this voice in the back of your head that's like talking to you, and it sometimes, and this isn't for all people, but sometimes it'll tell you all these negative things, and it'll say, oh, you're going to fail, or this won't work, or they're all going to laugh at you. you know, which would be good if you're trying to be a comedian. But if you're not trying to be a comedian, you don't want everyone laughing at you. And even when it comes to your everyday things that you're going to do, sometimes it just floods you with worries of, worries of the future or worries of the past. But it's this voice in your head that's constantly chattering about all this stuff. And this is what we mean by the ego. Now, we don't demonize the ego here. We don't think it's this thing where, you know, sometimes in the new age, they'll tell you that you have to destroy your ego and you have to get rid of it. Where I think that in this, you know, like in our section of the realm, like in the United States, the way people are raised, we're kind of ego heavy. It's ego dominant. So for me, I know I was stuck in that point of view and I didn't follow my intuition as much. So as I began to cultivate my intuition through, you know, the use of some plant medicines and then a lot of meditation and contemplation and artwork and just like walking in the woods and just doing my own thing and spending a lot of time alone, I started to cultivate this other voice that was inside me. But this voice speaks to me anyway, more like a feeling. It's more of a feeling kind of like, so just imagine when you're going to do something that you know is wrong and you're trying to think, you know, should I do this or shouldn't I? And you have this feeling and it's just like, it makes you like kind of sick. I remember the first time when I was really young, the first time I remember stealing anything was I used to have G.I. Joes and I had this one. It was like a jet and it had a little figure that came with it. And he had this little helmet that popped on top. It was like a space helmet and it fell off and I lost it or whatever. My friend had one. So I just took it and I felt so terrible about it. You know, like it was crazy. It was this little piece of plastic, but I just felt so bad about it. That I finally, I don't remember what I did. I don't think I returned it. I just like threw it away or threw it in the backyard or just like got rid of it, you know? And that's the feeling that I'm talking about when I'm talking about intuition. It's this feeling that you know you did something wrong. And that's normally when it speaks to a lot of people, especially when you're stuck in an egocentric mind frame and you're listening to the ego mostly. You just have this like kind of sick feeling about it, you know, this feeling of unrest or disharmony inside you. So this is what we mean by the ego. We don't think that you should destroy it or try to get rid of it. It's more like a tool. That's how we look at it, because sometimes you need that ego way to look at things. And sometimes when you're dealing with people or you're in a certain situation, you have to use that ego along with your logic to make your way through. But we feel like there's some kind of balance that could be attained in that situation. And we feel like the intuition is something that people don't listen to as much. But I feel, especially in my life, and I'm sure Sharon could share some stories of in her life, but as I began to listen to my intuition, it feels like the synchronicities start to line up, things start to happen, and just kind of come into my view or just my life as I need them. I just kind of go along with it and trust the ego and things seem to just work out, even though sometimes it doesn't seem like the exact right decision when I'm listening to my intuition and my ego will have a lot to say, you know, like, why would you do this? That's so stupid. Why would you do this? You know, whatever. But I just kind of sit back and let it happen. And I find myself in situations where I could have never guessed the outcome of different things that happened in my life. So that's kind of what we're talking about. Now, to bring this back around, a lot of people who have channels and stuff, when they're speaking, and right now, I guess you could even say I'm kind of speaking through my ego because it's the way that it's the face we put onto the world, right? It's like our sun sign. It's how we deal with everything. So people will get kind of in their ego. And what I've noticed is people who follow them, they want to, you know, you find somebody that you really like Owen Benjamin, for example. You know, this guy's out there crushing the world. He's really funny. He came out of Hollywood and he started this whole thing. He has an app where all these people are meeting and stuff. So a lot of people want to kind of do exactly what he says or want to be lined up exactly with what he does. And this is true for everybody, right? I mean, like I used to listen to Mark Passio and I had everything about natural law and I thought I had everything exactly figured out. And I'm like, he knows exactly the way. And even he would tell you. And that's the thing too, even Owen Benjamin, all these people, they'll tell you that, you know, you don't have to agree with everything I say, you know, this is just my point of view. He's like, and I love how he says, I might be wrong, but I'm not lying. And then a lot of times they'll come back and be like, guys, I was wrong about this. You know, this is it. And he owns up to it, which is really cool. But I think it's a good lesson for some people to learn, to realize that the people that we respect, that we don't, they're just people just like us. Right. They just found a way to overcome a lot of this stuff, and they have a nice big audience and everything, but it doesn't mean that they're infallible or that they're perfect. And most of these people will even tell you just the same thing, like what Mark Passio, he says the same thing. You know, you got to figure all this stuff out for yourself. You're going to say something.
Yeah. It just reminds me of what we talked about with Rose, and she was saying that, you know, she wanted to parrot everything that Mark Passio was saying. And it's funny because when we're learning a lot of information like this, we think, again, we think we know. So we just want to share it and parrot the information. And really, what we really probably should do is just take it in and use it to make our own decisions about what we think is right, and you know, use our own discernment. And I, you know, like Mark Passio even tells you, like, don't believe me, go do your research and do your homework on this stuff. Like, don't just believe what I'm telling you just because I'm telling you, right? So like you said, you know, everyone is on their own journey and own path, and you don't have to be on their path. You can be on your own path because you do have your own path.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I feel like that's how a lot of division arises, is because people want validation from exterior sources. So they'll find somebody that agrees with a lot of what they say. They come across new information that this person has. It makes a lot of sense. And they're like, oh, this guy must have it figured out. This girl must know it all. She must have it all figured out. I'm going to do exactly what they say, and I'm going to try to be just like them and all this stuff. And I feel like that's the ego coming back in to tell you that you're not good enough, right? Like, I remember that was like me. Like, I'd hear what, like, what makes you think, Brandon, that you're so good and you can bring this information to people? Well, if I had to address that voice, which most times I would just say to kind of ignore it if you can, or just realize what it is, or, and you could kind of rise above it. But if I did have to address that, I could say, well, you know, I've had a really interesting life. I've gone all over this crazy realm. I've been through a lot of different circumstances. I've met a lot of different people, and I've done a lot of things the wrong way, and I figured out the right way to do a lot of things. And I'm still, you know, again, no one's perfect or whatever, but that's really where I see the division coming in, is when people think for themselves that their opinions might not be good enough, or their knowing might not be good enough, so they have to listen to this other person. Now, I'm not saying that's always a bad thing, because sometimes, you know, most times these people are filled with a lot of different wisdom and they really do know what's going on. But you also have to remember, everything that they talk about and their worldview is filtered through the lens of everything they've seen and gone through in their own life, which is unique to you. Everybody kind of has their own path. And what we do, we said this in episode 11 when we talked about division the last time, pretty heavy 11 and 11:11. We talked about prioritizing qualities that you see in people. You know, if there's people that are living in accordance with, you know, nature or God's law or the golden rule or natural law, or however you want to define it, if you see people that are doing to others as they want done to them, or not doing unto others as they don't want done to them, I think that's a good place to start. And honestly, at the end of the day, after all that stuff, then we can just kind of have a fun conversation and ponder about, you know, things like what this realm can be, you know, what happens to us after we die. Another thing that's been coming up a lot lately is this idea that we live in some kind of soul trap, and that this realm is like a matrix and it's keeping people locked in, and we are slaves somehow for our energy, for our louche, or whatever, however you want to say it. And I've talked about this several times, and the reason why I don't agree with that, although I can see that point of view, because if you look around you at everything you see with the state of the world, I guess you could say, and how most people exist, and it looks like it's everybody's kind of like a slave, right? So if you think as above, so below, well, then if we're all slaves, there must be some control system. But I found that if you look deeper into it, it really is just people are slaves to their own desires. And people get into debt. And then because of this debt, they have a fear. Just look at what happened in 2020. And I was talking about this with a friend, and I was saying the reason most people went along with the stuff that happened in 2020 was because of fear, right? One way or another, a lot of people didn't want to get sick and kill somebody or whatever. But at the end of the day, most people's businesses and stuff, like when I went in without my smiling face covered, the thing they would always say to me, or the thing I got the most is, yeah, no, we think this is stupid too, but we don't want to get in trouble. We don't want to lose our license. We don't want to have the police come here. We don't want to have all these things happen to us that could happen, right? All these fears in the future. And it sounds kind of like more ego, you know, to me. But so if you see the state of the world and you see that everyone's slaves, but then if you go further and you see that really they're just a slave to their own desire, then you realize it's really just a choice at the end of the day. A lot of people are afraid to follow their intuition and do what's right because they don't want to be the one to stand up to it. They don't want to be the one tallest nail that gets hammered down. And if I see, and we can all agree that it's mostly a choice of everything that's going on, well, then I would have to use the as above, so below and say, could it be a choice that we made to come into this realm to experience these situations that we have to experience? And
it's all an offer.
Yeah, it is. Was it an offer that we chose? And is maybe it is some kind of realm of slavery, and maybe we chose it because of fear. So while we're here, I think if we work on all that stuff and we work on fear and we learn to act despite fear, because I feel like you could still feel fear. It's not like it's wrong if you feel it. It's just an emotion or it's a feeling that you have, but it just depends on what you do despite that fear. You know, like going on stage, for example, everyone's like, oh my God, I would never be able to do comedy. They would always say that to me. Like, wasn't it scary? I'm like, yeah, it was really scary. I was like shaking at first. First time I was ever on stage, like I'd open my head, my head down to my notes, and I was just kind of like reading, and it was terrible. But I kept doing it. And as I did it, I realized there really is nothing to be afraid of. It's just all in my head because everybody else was there to do the same thing. Other people were there just to listen to comedy. The people who weren't comedians, they were probably thinking to themselves, wow, I could never get up there and do it. You know, so nobody was really judging me the way that I thought. I was judging myself the worst out of everybody, right? At the end of the day. Yeah. So there you get this, people talking about the soul trap, and they also talk about the other big one is, why do we forget? They're like, well, if we're here to learn lessons and we're here to learn all these things, why would we forget every time we die?
The veil of forgetfulness.
Yeah. What do you think, Sharon? Why do you think the veil of forgetfulness exists?
Well, what you were saying earlier about, like to me, I thought it's all an offer, right? So if it's an offer here, right, and we have a choice, then that's free will. And so we had free will. We had free will to even come here, probably, and then we had free will here to decide what we're going to do at this point, right? But yeah, I mean, looking at the law of one and the way it works, it's, I mean, if it is allegedly that way, it doesn't have to be, but let's just say it is, then we went through all these different stages of these different densities that we went through. And this is just one of those. And then this particular one, we get to experience that veil of forgetfulness so that we can have the free will to choose. And you can choose better when you have that veil of forgetfulness, because it's authentic. You know, you're not remembering a story about what happened multiple lifetimes ago or last lifetime or whatever. You can make that choice without knowing that, and just experience this wonderful place called life.
Yeah.
And go on your journey. you know?
Yeah, I think without that veil of forgetfulness, there would really be no free will. There would be no true free will because there wouldn't be the mystery. I think that the veil of forgetfulness establishes that mystery. So maybe we do know what this realm is on one level, but because we come through that veil of forgetfulness, and that's how they put it in the Law of One. Again, it doesn't matter if you agree with all that stuff or if you've looked into it or whatever. It's just a way that we use to define it. And that's exactly what the entity Ra was saying to these people, is like, you need to be able to forget, because if you really knew who you were, then you wouldn't have any of this fear. If you knew you were knew you were simply consciousness, and that it was going to all work out in the end anyway, you wouldn't, and you knew it for sure, like you could swear by it, then you wouldn't have any fear, and we would just kind of hang around and maybe do nothing or learn nothing. We would just sit around and have a good time all day or whatever, which a lot of people want. You know, they're like, well, why can't we be there? Why can't we be there? And what I would say to that is, I think the reason why we can't be at some kind of civilization that's like a paradise, utopia, right? Or a utopia, whatever, no such place. I think it's because it goes deeper. I think it's because we don't feel that as a collective group, we don't feel that we're worthy of that. It reminds me of the Matrix when, I think it was Morpheus was talking to Agent Smith when they had Morpheus as a captive, and he was telling him the story. And he's like, you know, when we first designed this Matrix, it was a paradise and people kept trying to wake up from it. So we had to make it like a normal everyday life in New York City in 1999, yeah. You know, like, so I think that's kind of like a little bit of a shout out to people not feeling that they're worthy. And I know that I've definitely experienced that before. I've experienced that I wasn't worthy of certain things. And when you experience that, sometimes they go away. It's like a relationship. Sometimes people get into a relationship and they will self-sabotage the relationship because they feel like they're not good enough on some level for this person. And they always feel like something's going to go wrong, or they're going to cheat on them, or they're going to leave them. You know, they're going to find out who I really am, and they're going to find out I'm a scumbag, and they're going to run away from me. Well, that comes from the ego, like we were talking about before, but it's this feeling inside like you're not good enough. And I think that comes from a lack of self-love. And all this division stuff, I really feel, comes from at some point a lack of self-love. And that's why we always talk about going in and working on yourself, you know, doing the inner work and not worrying about the exterior world. And that's where free will comes in, because free will, sometimes it's not always a choice of action. Sometimes you don't have a choice of what actions you could do. Sometimes you could only choose how you're going to feel about these actions and if you're going to take it personally or not. You know, like say somebody comes in and you're in a situation where your life is threatened and they're all hopped up on drugs and they're, you know, waving a gun around or whatever. Maybe they hurt other people and they're about to hurt you. So sometimes you have to use the positive expression of force, which is self-defense, to defend the situation. You know, you're put in a situation where you're like, I don't want to hurt anybody, but it's either me or them. So at that point, and we've talked about this a lot, it's all about your frame of mind as you do it, right? Because if you get into this bloodlust of killing somebody, you might find that you actually like it, right? It's what happens sometimes to people when they go to war. You know, if you think about like the Vietnam War, some of these stories, people just get in there and then they have this bloodlust when it comes to killing people. And I think you could go back to any war and see how that has worked out for people that don't know what they're getting themselves into. And I mean, that's kind of a crazy example, but I think it works down all the way to the individual level. So it just, you really only have sometimes the choice of how you are going to handle or feel or think about a situation on the inside. There's really nothing I think we could do to affect the whole or the outer world. And a lot of these people who have channels and stuff, that's a lot what they're talking about. They're like, you know, this is what we can do to either change the world or save the world or do it to ourselves or whatever. And most of the ones that I listen to will tell you, or most of the people I listen to will tell you, that you can really only affect yourself and the people around you. And sometimes it's only just you. Sometimes you're the only one who sees something and everybody else goes along with it. And you can choose what you have to do from there. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That, what you just said, reminds me of like, you just said, looking at people, and some people will be receptive to something. And it's just like, everybody is on their path. Everybody is on their journey. So, you can actually use that as a tool of compassion instead of wanting to woke rape them and, you know, shove this information into their faces, whether you think this content provider is right or wrong or what. You could, like, why do you have to defend somebody? Why do you have to push somebody onto, you know, to someone else to listen to? What is the motivation, right? It's actually potentially creating more division. Woke raping is division, dare I say. I'm just kidding. But
yeah,
anyway.
I think it is. It is another form of division, because you are trying to tell the person that you know better than them, and you're speaking from their ego, and their ego says, well, how dare this person think they know more than me? You know, I've lived my life. I've done all this thing. I've accomplished this stuff. You know, some people have a really nice house and cars and a family and all this stuff. And they're like, who are you? You know, you live in your mom's basement or whatever. And like, who are you to tell me? And they're actually right. So that's why I found that it's not even fruitful to talk about this unless somebody's interested, you know? And then when that comes up, then I just ask questions, you know, especially we'll take like the realm, right? This is what the realm is. Or even if it's another content creator, like, we'll say James True, for example. I used to follow him a lot more. I don't follow him as much anymore, but every once in a while I will check in. And he does have a lot of great information that he's sharing with people. He has studied a lot of different things, and he sees things in a different point of view. And I think what happens is there's certain people who have a worldview, and James True resonates with them more. And then there's certain people that have a worldview, and maybe Owen Benjamin or Crow or all these other people, they resonate with that worldview better than they do with the other person. So therefore, that leads them to think that that other person is wrong in what they're doing or what they're saying. And sometimes it's true. You know, people will have a way to explain things, like with Owen and James True, for example. What I see, what happened, especially in the beginning when they first kind of went their separate ways, there were some people who saw that James True, what he was talking about was more about symbolism, and it didn't really have to do with what other people were taking literally in the Bible, like as far as like the devil and Lucifer and all this stuff. But it doesn't mean, so just because James might have been right about the symbolism and stuff, he still could have been wrong about the way he was applying it. And intuitionally, people just had a bad feeling about it and they didn't like it. But it just devolved into, you know, name calling and this person and that person and sides and like piling on. When does that really help our situation in the world? Do you think the people who, you know, the thing I always think about is Mark Passio. If you followed him for a while, he talks about how he used to be like a priest in the Church of Satan or whatever it was at one point. And so he had this friend who was a Satanist, and he sent him an email about the truth movement. And he was like, what do you think of the truth movement? You know, look at us. And the guy just sent him a picture of a clown back. He was basically like, these guys are fucking clowns. And yeah, that might be offensive and you might take offense to that. But I think the way that I interpret it is it's because of the behavior of people. You know, information could be dangerous in the wrong hands. And sometimes even if you have the right truth or the right information, it will lead you to go out and just cause more division among people who are supposed to all be on the good side or the right side or the side of truth. And then they'll argue about this one little point, the sticking point or whatever. And then they, you know, get name calling and all this certain stuff. And then it's just more division. And then people are like, oh, you still watch this guy, or you listen to this guy, that guy's an idiot, or I like this guy. And it goes back to the division thing, right? When we're all supposed to be kind of seeking truth. I think a lot of people who are watching this would look at themselves as a truth seeker. I look at myself as a seeker of truth. But what I've realized over the past couple of years is that truth a lot of times could be very subjective, like we said, depending on people's worldview and their point of view. So it's something that can't easily be communicated.
And it's like the elephant that we always talk about. If there's multiple people standing blindfolded, standing around an elephant.
Yeah, exactly.
They can all be making very true, valid statements about that elephant.
Yeah, 100%. And so, like we said, we've seen a lot of this, and it seems like right now it's going pretty crazy, right? There's a lot going on in the world, and it's not just in the community of the truth. You know, you look at in the world or whatever, there's a lot of this division going on too. You know, look at just regular politics, right? You have the orange guy, Trump, and then you have, I think it's DeSantis, who's the other like Republican guy. And now they're starting to split off, and the factions are like going at it from each other's side. And all these people 2 years ago were all on the same side, right? And now it's just more division that's splitting on. So if you look at it in the world around you, you could see that maybe it has something to do with the sky clock. You know, we'd like to look at the sky clock. The way I look at it, and I think Sharon agrees, is it's just kind of a reflection of what's going on down here. I don't think that there's like bodies or planets or even luminaries or lights that are actually affecting us. I think it's more of a reflection. It's like an as above, so below thing. So it's a way to look up and kind of see what's going on down here. And there's been like all kinds of crazy stuff going on. You know, Jupiter has been very bright this whole summer. We have that Mars retrograde going on right now. And I think what it's leading up to is some kind of script flip. And the funny thing is, a lot of the people that Sharon and I will listen to, they might hate each other, right? Or not agree with each other or call each other names, but they're all saying the same thing at the end of the day. They basically feel like the pendulum's going to flip back the other way. And looking back, it might have already happened. We just haven't seen it yet, you know? And I think when that kind of stuff happens, you just get more lines of division because stuff is just happening faster and they're waking up to truth quicker, and it's just sending them in different directions. Where, again, I think that's a product of the ego. It's because people feel like they've come across some truth or they know something. And for them, the only way to really know it's true is if other people will validate it for them, because they don't feel like they're good enough to have this right opinion or this right view and stand by it. And doesn't mean you have to argue with people about it or anything like that. And this brings us to Jason Bershears of Archaics. So recently, I'm sure you guys know, there's been a lot of things going on about him, and Sharon and I have been into his information probably since about May or June. We've come across him, and he's been on our radar a lot, and we've even talked about getting him on the show and stuff, and for one reason or another it hasn't happened. But maybe it's a good thing that it hasn't happened because of all this stuff that's going on. But what I wanted to say, because I, you know, Owen was talking about him recently and his past and all this stuff, and if all that stuff is true, you know, when we were listening to him, I heard about the allegations against him, and then I heard Jason himself explain what happened. And for me, it seemed to satisfy what was going on. Now, maybe I was wrong. Maybe I should have looked deeper into his past, and maybe he is lying. Or like I even said to Sharon, maybe it's possible that he did engage in all this stuff and he wasn't just a witness or a good guy. Maybe he did do some things, and somehow he just disassociated from it, right? Because it was so terrible, and we all have our paths that lead us to do different things. And sometimes it's really terrible things because of the way we grew up. And maybe in prison, he just had this disassociation, and he felt like he was an innocent bystander and he didn't have any part of it. Maybe it's the only way he can get up in the morning. I don't know. I mean, he seems like a really good guy. And his story seems very plausible. And that's kind of why I went along with it and just kept listening to it.
Well, may I interject?
Please do.
When he does speak about this occurrence and what got him into jail in the first place, he's very, I just sense that he's very genuine. And he doesn't say that he's innocent at all, ever. He never says he's innocent. He says, I got into jail because I was being a criminal. I was doing criminal activity. So I am not claiming innocence. So, I mean, yeah, I concur with you. Like, could he have done something more terrible than he's leading on, and he disassociated from it and doesn't, and now he doesn't, you know, his mind somehow forgot about it, and he doesn't speak about it anymore? It could be. But he did say in the most recent thing he addressed, I believe it was an episode he did yesterday or a couple of days ago. By the time you listen to this, it'll be probably a good week or so. But he did say, look, you can go and look at all the records, look at all the history, go to the court records. You'll see the same thing I'm telling you, you'll see it there. So anybody can go verify now. I haven't done so because I don't need to. It doesn't matter to me. I see the person he is now. Like, he even said, like, I was 17 when I did whatever I was doing back then. He's like, and that's what got me in jail. And like, now you're going to choose to judge me for that one thing I did when I was 17. Like, who hasn't done retarded things when they were young?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you're going to judge that. Like, why? I said this before. I don't know if I've said it on the show, but like, I choose to see a person as they are now and what they've done to make changes to their life. Like, who are they? Who are they now? How are they living now? Because your past doesn't make you who you are today, in the sense of it makes you who you are today, but it doesn't mean that's the same person you are, because clearly you've had to have learned. Hopefully you've learned from those experiences. Now, if you're the same person you were 17 years ago, I'm sorry. That's really sad. Right. But it would be obvious if he were, because he would still be in jail.
Yeah. No.
So anyway, I just thought I'd.
I agree with that. Totally. I totally agree with it. And then to play devil's advocate and take the other side, say, we'll take Owen's side. Right. I understand everything Owen's doing. And I think for him, he's doing the right thing, because he has a community of people that he feels responsible for. And he's somebody who could see through a lot of bullshit and he's seen a lot of bullshit in his life. Right. So the things that he's saying are 100% accurate. Like, this guy, Jason, he could be a psychopath, right? We'll just go down these roads. And he could just be speaking in a way that he learned where he can connect with people, right? Because maybe he is a psychopath and he doesn't have these real feelings, so he just knows how to present himself. Maybe it's all an act. It's 100% true that it could be. And listen, every time I would watch him and stuff, I would always have that in the back of my mind, because that's just how my brain works. You know, I'm always like, I always have that truth meter. I'm like, is this guy full of shit? You know, maybe he is full of shit if he did all these crazy things, and maybe he's trying to trick people. But when I keep going at it, and this is the thing that Sharon and I really wanted to talk about, because the reason why we resonated so much with Jason's message and what he has to say, because looking at it from Owen's point of view, or somebody who is like leisurely kind of looking into it, at first it is a lot of information and it does sound really crazy. I'll have to admit it. Like, what he says, and he talks about like simulation theory, which Sharon and I are not into simulation theory at all. And he talks about this artificial intelligence X that is kind of controlling everything that's going on in the collective consciousness. And he talks about how there's this cycle that happens every 138 years. And sometimes it's like a worldwide reset. Sometimes it's just very localized. And he said that the next one's going to happen in 2040. So upon just looking into it, he seems like another doomsayer, right? Another doom and gloom guy. And the end of the world's coming in 2040. And you have to be ready and get all this stuff ready. But if you keep looking into it and you listen to his message, what I have found, and this is, again, what attracted Sharon and I, is that he doesn't have a message of despair. His message is basically, if you don't have fear about what's coming and you're not in despair about it, and you just do your own thing and you kind of go along the lessons like we were talking about earlier. He also feels like we're here to learn lessons, right? And we're here to interact with people and to make ourselves better, so we can make ourselves worthy for our next avatar is what he means, you know, like our spirit light or our spirit being or whatever it is that's going to be. And the way we look at things allegorically, it kind of fits into the law of one, a lot of the stuff that he's saying. And that's really that main message of don't have any fear or don't have any despair. So I understand people like Owen and Crow and Rose and all these people have a lot of different critiques of him. And I totally get it. But if you look into it at the end of the day, he doesn't really have any, you know, like if you think of Alex Jones, right? Alex Jones will scare all these people and all this fear porn. And then he just tries to sell you stuff. You know, he's like, I have the cure here. Or I have the way to purify water. We have the boner pills that are going to help you or whatever it is. Right. But I don't see any of that with Jason. I just see him telling people. And that's the one thing that comes up a lot. People always ask him, well, where do we go? What do we do? And he says, I can't tell you what to do. But he goes, I know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to follow my intuition and I'm not going to have fear about it. Because at the end of the day, and this is something that nobody's really talked about with the criticisms and stuff. And again, Sharon and I don't put this guy on a pedestal. You know, he seems like a nice, genuine guy, but he could be a psychopath. He could be a fucking CIA agent. We have no idea, right, of knowing. But what we do is we're just looking at his overall message. And compared to a lot of people that are on the internet, he really doesn't have any kind of fear porn that he's spreading. It just seems
to be... And he's not really selling anything. Yeah, he sells his, like, some of his material, but it's like literally you can go and it's like $5, $6, you know, it's like little stuff. Like he's not trying to sell something to, he even has said like, he's not trying to amass some sort of wealth or anything. He's like, I always have enough every month. He's like, it just happens. You know, I spend it, I do the things I need to do. And then I always have. And he's like, that's how this realm works. You spend stuff, you have stuff. If you have no fear, that's how it works. There's no worry because you know that source will provide. And I really, when he said that, I really liked that. That was like, that really stuck with me.
Yeah, that's what really resonates with Sharon and I, messages like this. And one of the first times I emailed him was probably back in like May or June. And he emailed me back a free copy of his book. And it was the one that was about this. I think it was like We Are Immortals or something like that.
Yeah.
And it basically just talked about how, you know, and it's a lot of stuff you'll learn if you study magic or the occult or whatever in the dark occult. And they'll tell you how to manifest things and how to bring things in your life. And we've talked about this in the past where that could be another trap because then you're just manifesting things all day. And it's stuff that you want from an egoic point of view. It's stuff that you think you need and you want. Well, he kind of talks about doing all this stuff and walking your path and doing it in the, I guess you'd say the proper way. And as far as the simulation and all that stuff, he talks about how all that's just his theory and that's separate from all the information. So he's very open. He's not even really married to this whole simulation theory thing. You know, he just says that it's the best way for him to explain it, for him to explain the way that history repeats. And these cycles that he found and all this stuff for him, it just makes sense. It's if it's some kind of sophisticated simulation that we can't quite understand. And what it sounds to me is like he's just in a dark room feeling an elephant. And I'm in that dark room feeling another side of an elephant. And I'm just coming up with realm earth theory. And he's coming up with simulation. And he's even pretty open to it.
Right. And he's seeing it from this like simulation point of view, right? Whereas I lost my train of thought. I was going somewhere. But we're all saying it a little differently, right? It's not like just because he says simulation theory doesn't mean that, you know, again, he's like you said, he's not married to it. He's talked about this multiple times and he addressed it again in the most recent one he did about all the attacks that were coming against him. He's like, it doesn't have to be a simulation. It's just the conclusion I've come to, and it's what makes sense. But okay, this is what I was going to say. Like, we can see it through the lens of the law of one, and he's seeing it through the lens of it's a simulation. But because we've been exposed to the law of one, and this is another interesting thing, I don't want to forget to say this, so to remind me, but he said something about like he likes Edgar Cayce's work or something like that. But then another, I heard him say at some other point that he doesn't like channeled work. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But anyway, and maybe I don't have to jump back to that. But yeah, we're seeing it because we've been exposed to the law of one, right? We can see how the stuff he says and uses like simulation terminology, we can see how that relates to the law of one. So it's like we're saying very similar things, but we're using different words, different terminologies. It's like you said, feeling that elephant in the room blindfolded, you know? Like, I think to me, like, I don't know, the law of one just really kind of, I wish he would read it.
Yeah. And to go back to, you know, even his followers, sometimes some of his followers could be putting him on a pedestal and they think he's the way and he's the only true one. So it doesn't excuse anybody else. But like I said, it's really about the information that he's talking about and sharing. That's what I've in my own life have used. And a lot of times when he talks about history, because I'm fully, you know, I'm like a big history nerd. So when he talks about these different points of view of history, take the Crusades, for example, a lot of people are familiar with the Crusades. You know, it made it into a lot of different movies and stuff. And it's all about like the Christians in Europe going to defend the Holy Land and take it back over again. And then they have it for a while and then the Muslims will overrun them. And the Muslims will have it for a while. And when he was breaking that down, it basically came down to there was people in the courts of the kings of Europe and stuff, and then also people in the courts of the Muslims, and they were the money handlers and the exchangers and all this stuff, right? And they're the ones that gave the loans and all this stuff. We don't have to name them. We all know who we're talking about, or whatever they called themselves at the time. But if you look at that whole thing, big picture, what was going on was these people in the courts would advise the kings and stuff to go, yeah, you got to go to this war, you got to go down there. And it seemed like they could have even been working in conjunction with the Vatican, you know, like who knows, but it looked like they were trying to get them to go to war. And what was really happening, though, is these people would take all their best knights and soldiers and everybody to go off to war, and they would put themselves in debt. And then a lot of them wouldn't come back. And the people who held that debt would seem to be the ones that were making out on this. And then even on the other side with the Muslims, it was the same thing. They would have, you know, these people in their courts, these advisors that were the money exchangers and changers and stuff, you know, be like, listen, we'll lend you the money. You can buy all the spears and swords that you need. Go down here, just sign over your property and your family or whatever. And what ended up happening was on both sides, these people were kind of getting screwed over because they would go to this war. They'd fight. Most of the guys would die. And they wouldn't come back to pay off their debts, and other people would profit from it. And when I heard him talking about all this stuff, I just thought about today. You know, it's kind of like these people that are money lenders and all this stuff, they try to get people into debt no matter what the psyop is. So that was just a big psyop, right? It was like, oh, you got to get this piece of dirt. You have to be the one to control it. And then today, the psyops are just different. You know, do you want a nice car? Do you want a nice house? Do you want all these really nice things that you can't exactly afford right now, but you just get a loan and then you could slowly pay it off. And it brings us back to what we were saying in the beginning. And then you're in debt. And then when these other psyops come along, you have to just kind of go along with them. Now, all this stuff that I figured out has helped me immensely. And I've already knew the dangers of debt, but now I could see it in the real world and I can explain it to people through the lens of history. And the reason I gained this knowledge was because I was open to hearing different points of view and different truth and stuff about this stuff. And it's not even like Jason demonizes these people. We'll call them the Jays or whatever, you know. He has kind of the same point of view that Owen has about them. You know, they're just people and they're just making offers. And if you take their offers, then it's on you. You know, if it wasn't them, it'd be somebody else offering. And we should actually be thankful for these people because they are offering some kind of resistance, some kind of way to learn. You know, even if it ends terribly and horribly and everybody dies, if you think that we are really immortal beings, some kind of consciousness here to learn, then that stuff doesn't actually matter on this level, or I mean, on the next level, right? It
in the grand scheme of things.
In the grand scheme of things.
Big picture.
Big picture. And what that does is, for me, it allows me to not have hate for these people and not have to think I have to change everybody and go out in the world and have this message of, you know, we got to get these people or stay away from them or whatever. It brings me back again to, why do you want to take the loan? Why isn't your life good enough right now? Why can't you be grateful for the things that you have in your life right now that are right in front of you? And I think that's really what it comes down to, is to have gratitude. I mean, I recently was under the weather a little bit, and the whole time I was dealing with it and not at 100%, I was just thinking to myself, like, maybe this is here to teach me something. Maybe I can learn. Thank you, universe, or thank you for putting this hurdle in my path. And now I have to take things a little slower and look at things differently and try to get things done in a different way because I'm not at 100%. You know, like, I can't just go to a wedding like I normally would and run around and do what I have to do. Like, I have to kind of take it slow and look at these things one at a time. You know, that's just a small example, but it's like that in any part of our life. If something happens and it comes to you, you could look at it, and that's where the free will comes in. You could be thankful for it, no matter what it is. You know, you could say thank you. Just think about the story of Job, right? Where Job has all this stuff and then he loses it and he has these terrible boils and everybody dies and all his animals die. And, you know, like, it's the worst ever and the sun goes out. No. But he just remains thankful to God for it. And in the end, he's rewarded even more. And I feel like maybe that's what this part of learning, the learning function in this realm is that you have to learn to be grateful, whatever comes to you, no matter what, because if you're grateful, then it really loses its power over you. So I could have said to myself, oh, why am I sick? This sucks. I fucking hate being sick. This is the worst. And the then worst. It's the worst. How come I got a cough and I can't sleep? But if I'm thankful for it, then it loses its power over me, no matter what it is. You know, it technically loses its power, and maybe it'll come back again to test me again. And then I just have to keep that same frame of mind. So,
had this thought. I don't know if it makes sense. I'm just going to throw it out there. You were talking about, like, monetary debt, right? And I'm just thinking to myself, what would the equivalent of spiritual debt be? Could it be that it's fear? Like,
ooh, yeah.
Because when you stand in your power and you have no fear, you're confident. But when somebody takes away, you're in debt of your confidence, you're in fear. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, no, that's so true. It really does come down to fear, you know, and to get back to gratitude. I'm thankful that Owen went so hard at Jason from Archaics and said all these things and looked into it. And even the way he feels right now, I'm thankful for it, because maybe some of the information that Archaics has is dangerous. And some people just aren't meant to see it yet, because from their point of view, maybe it will drive them crazy. Maybe if they look into it, and they see these resets and they're like, wow, maybe something really is going to happen. Maybe it'll put them in a different fear state and it would change their trajectory. Where, as most people who follow Owen Benjamin, they're not in fear. They're doing their own thing. So I think they're going to be just fine. So it's possible that they don't even need, maybe this, all this information is just a distraction. Maybe you don't need to know it, you know? So I'm thankful for that. And maybe that's the reason why that a lot of these people are at odds with him, or will say all these things. And, you know, maybe they're right, you know. And I love it.
Everyone's
because,
right for where they are.
Yeah.
It goes back to what I was saying about earlier, is like, everyone is on their own path, and we can have compassion because everyone is right for where they are. If they choose to do something, that was their choice. And they choose to see that it's bad, it's negative, it's not good. Good. Don't look at it. If it's not resonating with you, don't look at it.
Yeah.
We don't,
yeah.
We like to say here on the Oversharing Show, we don't tell people what to do, you know?
Exactly. We don't tell you what to do, except for, make sure you hit thumbs up and subscribe and tell all your friends about us. Other than that, you know, you can do whatever you want, but you have to hit thumbs up. No. Yeah. So I'm thankful, and it's great actually, you know, because I knew that Owen, he kind of hinted at he was going to be going at Archaics. And at first I was like, oh, this sucks, man. I kind of want Owen to see what I see, but I'm actually happy that he's going after the Sacred Cow, because it helps me, you know, it helps to be able to take some criticism of something that I'm a fan of, because I do watch him pretty regularly and he does destroy Sacred Cows. And most times I'm like, yeah, get it. You know, well, now it's my turn. You know, it reminds me of when a couple of years ago he was going on about height, right? It was really funny. He was like, he's a height supremacist. And he's like, if you're not even 6'1", he's like, what the hell? And he's like, oh, and he's like, you know what? And I, at the time, I believed I was 6'4". We all know the story of how I'm 6'5" now. But he goes, yeah, you got to at least be 6'4". And I was like, yeah. He's like, and then he's like, no, what? Fuck that. He's like, 6'4". He's like, you're a fucking idiot. He's like, you got to be at least like 6'5". It was so funny. And I felt this like, how dare he? Even though I knew he was like joking around, you know, I still felt that. But I was like, oh, that's great, because it goes back to never taking yourself seriously, because we don't know, right? We could be wrong about all this stuff. And, you know, I'm glad we did this episode, because I'm beginning to see that it's, because at the beginning, Sharon and I, when we first came across this Archaic stuff, we're like, wow, we can't wait to show this to everybody and share this information. And again, if you're just looking at it, glancing at it, and kind of, it does seem really crazy until you actually dive into it and look at a lot of the stuff that he's saying. And he does separate the simulation stuff from his own opinion from the actual information. You know, he basically just made this whole thing, he calls it the Chronicon, where it's just all the information that he had and he read, and he just put it into this book, and he found like different patterns and stuff, right, that fit in. So I think it's good that we're not all on the same page with all this stuff. You know, people, it's possible that somebody could have stumbled across it, and then instead of like tending to their homestead, they just got sucked into all this information, you know, and then they start trying to become a crazy prepper, and all their daily obligations get ignored, you know, and it's a bad thing for them. So I think it is a good thing overall, and I can be thankful for all of it, you know, and that's why I'll still listen to James True, and I'll still listen to Owen, and I'll still listen to Crow and all these people, because they do have some information, but I'm looking at it through a lens where I don't need them to agree with me. And it used to not be that way. Like when I was heavier into Mark Passio, when I first got into it, like everything he said was like Bible law to me, you know, I was like, yes, he gets it. He has 100%. But now I see, because of what I've been through, I had to come across that information, but then I also have to express my own rhetoric and what I've learned, so other people can take what I've learned and then incorporate it in their life. And then they could distill it down further, and they could use it to see, you know, what works out better for them. So division, I guess, inherently isn't that, it's not like it's a bad thing. It's just that I think Sharon agrees, you should look at why you don't like somebody, or why you think that you hate them, or they're wrong, or they're the worst, or they shouldn't exist. And maybe you can use that as a reflection on yourself. Maybe there's a part of you that you see in that person, and because you hate yourself on some level, because I think we all have this struggle of self-love and self-hatred, there might be an aspect of this other person. And this is something that happens to Owen a bunch, right? He's always getting troll attacked, and people send fucking CPS to his house and all this stuff because of his message. And he's not afraid to go up there and talk about what he's learned. And he's not afraid to be honest and point things out. Right. So it goes back to all that stuff. I feel like it's just an internal thing, you know? So if you are experiencing some of this division, or there's somebody say you hate James True, or you hate Owen Benjamin because of this, it's like, okay, well, take a step back and see, is there maybe an aspect of yourself that you're not okay with? And maybe you can show that aspect love and light, and you could get to the bottom of it. You know, we all have aspects of ourselves, or I'll just say I have aspects of myself that I hate, right? But when I overcome them is when I realize, why do I have these aspects? You know, why was I engaging in this behavior I was before with women? And to use that as an example, I got down to, it was basically like a hatred of the feminine, like of my mom and the way I was raised. And I'm not saying she did anything wrong or right or whatever. It's just the things that had happened in my life. I developed this hatred for women or the feminine. And I was going around trying to do all I could to make myself feel better at the expense of women or of the feminine. Right. And now that I've realized that's what it was, I could work on that and I could say, well, where did it come from? Oh, maybe it's because of when I was a kid, this happened. And then I could see how this aspect of myself, I'm just looking at it like a child. And then I could forgive myself. I can even laugh about it, you know, and then I can move on to the next time when it happens. And then I see myself, feel myself get triggered again or whatever it is. And then if it's a person who's triggering me, I could look at what their behavior is. And I could say, well, is my behavior similar to this in a different way? You know, like we say allegorically, you know, like when we talk about that law one and the Bible and all this stuff, there's certain truth that comes in. It's just put in a different story. So maybe there's some kind of parallel thing that I see in this person that I see in myself. I'm just not conscious of it. It's a blind spot, which we talk about a lot. We have different blind spots because of the trauma that we went through and we just can't see it. So it's easier for us to just point the finger and say, oh, this person's terrible, when we're really just reflecting back what we don't like in ourselves, right?
Yeah, for sure. Something we talked about earlier was the fear, right? And I kind of going back to that, like I'm just thinking, like, let's, like, what if people like need their fear, like they need their debt and they're just like scrambling for it. Like, don't take away my fear, you know, because again, like you're talking about, it all boils down to something inside of them. And they're just used to this way that they see themselves, and their ego says, no, it's okay. It's okay to be that way because so-and-so hurt you and so-and-so did this to you. And so they hold on to that rather than saying, addressing it, right? Which would actually let go of the fear and you could just live and not live in fear.
Yeah. It's like the victim, right? Everybody has their own reason to be a victim. We could look at the situation that happened after World War II, you know, during World War II with the Germans and these people that they were, the history books or whatever the movies will tell you, there was this giant extermination going on. But then sometimes people look really closely and it's not what they said. You know, this 6 million number seems really high, but there's people that use that event as their victim token, we'll say, right? And because their world, from their point of view, it's all true. You know, they don't want to look into it. Anybody who is questioning it is evil, because and from their point of view, they're right, right? So let's look at their point of view. They're right. They just have the information wrong, right? They're coming at it from their worldview, but in their worldview, they're right about it. So now they have this thing that they can point back to and they could be a victim. Well, everybody has that. Something's happened to every one of us that makes us feel like a victim in our life at one point or another. And when somebody like Jason from Archaics comes along and he's telling people that you shouldn't have any fear, you shouldn't be a victim, you're not a victim, a lot of people want to hold on to that. And they're like, no, I'm a victim, you know, and we all do it. Sharon and I probably do it for one reason or another. We're just not aware of it because of blind spots, right? So it's not like we're perfect, but we're just kind of calling out things as we see it. So it could be possible on some level that some people are adverse to him because of his message. And at the end of the day, they realize that or somehow even subconsciously that he's taking away some of their victim narrative and they just don't want it taken away. They feel comfortable with that victimness because what's on the other side of that, I could tell you, it's like a dark night of the soul. And then you don't know what's going on and you have to figure it all out. And it is really hard work. It's not some fun stuff. It's probably some of the hardest work that you could do as a person, is to look inside at what makes you think the way that you think about something and what makes you think you're a victim. And then when you realize that you're not a victim, everything that you've been doing is wrong, right? You're like, oh shit, I've been wrong about all this stuff. You just have to admit you're wrong. And it's one of the hardest things for people to do is to admit that they're wrong. I get it. I had to do it and it wasn't easy. Sometimes it's easier. Sometimes it's funny, you know, sometimes you can look at it that way. And that's the way that I suggest people look at it. You know, try to look at it through the lens of humor. Just look at yourself as you were a child. You know, when I was a child, I reasoned like a child. You know, now I'm an adult, I reason like an adult.
I think that's a Paul quote, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Oh, no. And that's another thing I want to bring up, too. So, you know, Owen's been going off on Paul. He hasn't really gone off on him lately, but he had Paul week he keeps referring to. And if you are somebody who is a fan of Paul and you feel like it is the truth, you don't have to defend the truth. You know, yeah. The truth is there to defend itself. We don't have to make Owen. We don't have to make James True or Jason or Crow or any of these people see our own point of view. Your own point of view is unique. It's your own gift. And some people look at it as a curse, but it isn't. It's a gift. The way that you see the world is a gift, and you don't have to have anybody else see it that way, especially if they're not hurting anybody. You know, if someone's going along and they're preaching this thing and people are maybe getting hurt because of it, or you see that they're hurting themselves and you care about them, then maybe you want to wake them up to it or try to illuminate that for them. But if no one's really getting hurt at the end of the day, then I think that there's a reason why they're there, you know. And just like Owen with the flat earth thing, he eventually saw it. So if he's meant to see it with archaics, then eventually he will. But I think that people emailing him and keep wanting to talk to him about it, or whoever it is, or Crow, you know, and they're saying they're getting all these emails, I don't think it's helping in a way, because it just kind of, it like validates their reason to not look into it, because they're like, oh, these people are just crazy. Because it, you do sound crazy when you try to stick up for archaics. I get it, you know, like, because of the accusations and because of his past, you know, people are like, well, how could you, you know, and I get it. It's terrible. But like I said, some people are going to see it and some people aren't. And the truth doesn't really need to be defended. And then if we're wrong, it'll come out later. But it really is all about what you're doing with the information. And that's really what I wanted to highlight here. Is it information that's making your life better? Like, sometimes I know I have friends that listen to James True and they get a lot out of what he says. And who am I to tell them not to listen to him? You know, no, you got to listen to Owen instead. Or I know people that listen to Owen, and I think that there's some things that James True might say or archaics might say that might be interesting to them, but it's not up to me. It's up to them to figure that stuff out and find it. And same thing with like Mark Passio or any of these people, you know. There's a lot of things that they say that I think people would find very interesting and might benefit them in their life, but it's not up to me to decide. You know, it's up to them to figure it out. And they don't need that. You know, at the end of the day, nobody needs any of these people directly. Mm-hmm. And maybe one's enough, you know, like as long as their message is, I learned a lot about victim narrative from James True, you know, like he really opened my eyes to a lot of that stuff. And then, same thing with Owen or any of these people, you know. So I just kind of go along and take the good stuff and just like kind of throw out the bad. But it's not up to me or Sharon or any of us to change anyone's mind about something. You know, there's got to be a reason. Maybe he's right.
Yeah. Well, like, again, everyone is right for where they're at. And they've had to experience what they had to go through to learn the lessons that they're going to learn.
Yeah. And one thing I will say about Jason from Archaics, the way he is handling all this stuff, he did that video. It was like called The War on Archaics or whatever. It was, I didn't expect it at all, but he didn't really try to defend himself or anything. He just kind of explained how he's going along doing his thing, and this is all energy coming at him that he can use, even if it's negative energy. And I really like that. So
me too. I like that he said he was going to transmute it for good. He's like, bring it on. Like, the more attention you give me, it doesn't matter if it's negative or positive, the more attention you give me, I'm just going to use it for good. I'm just going to turn it back around and use it for good.
Yeah. And one of the examples that he said, it was like, sometimes there's people that'll have a channel and they don't want to go into certain truth, and then they'll talk shit about archaics, and it just sends people to investigate for themselves. And then when, if they figure out that there's actually something there, then it only hurts the person who's talking shit, you know? I mean, I don't think that's like what's going to happen to Owen because of his fan base is much different, but it just in the overall scheme of things, just remember whenever you're demonizing somebody because of that, and there's some truth there, that it's possible that you're going to be the one who looks like you're obtuse because you're not totally looking into this. And I get it. Not a lot of people. I mean, it's a lot of information to look in. It takes a lot of time. And some people will look into it and they just aren't sure. They're like, I don't know. I got to have someone else check this stuff out for me again, because there's something inside them that's saying that they're not enough to figure it out for themselves. They need a lens to look through, or they, it has to be
external
okay.
External validation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And that's basically not following your own intuition. And like, I believe he said this, Archaic said this in one of the videos he did, not the most recent one, but one that I heard some time ago, not too long ago. He said, listen, if you are here and you're not resonating with the things I'm talking about and my message, he's like, don't watch it. Don't. Like, go off, do your thing. Like, if you're meant to come back and listen to me, then you will. If not, you won't. But don't go against your own intuition. He's like, I always tell people, I think he said he always tells people to follow their intuition. Like, if they don't want to listen to him, they don't want to resonate with him, they find him repulsive, whatever, don't listen. You know?
Yeah. There's a reason. It's not your path. It's not the information that you're supposed to come across or whatever. And, you know, it's funny how our message always comes back to just working on yourself, right? Like, I think that's one of the main things here that we talk about with oversharing. It's like, you can't change the world. You can only change yourself. The world isn't going to change on the whims and the ways that you want. It's not going to be what you want. And if that's the case, and you could prove it over and over again, then it's a constant. Then there's a reason why it's not going to be what you want it to be. It's here. In my belief, it's here as a teacher. Everything could be a teaching, no matter how much you hate somebody or how evil, you know, the worst person in history could be a teacher for you. I think it's great, like what's going on with Ye, and he's talking about like me and Mr. Mustache. You know, he's like, I love him, and people get pissed off. But what they don't also see is that he says, I also love the doctor who might have killed my mom. I also love the people who did, like, he's like, I love everybody.
He loves everybody. That's what he said. I love everybody. So everybody includes me and Mr. Mustachio.
Yeah. And we've talked about this in the past too. When you have somebody in history that's hated, it's like they're a conduit for your hate. There's a reason why it's going on. If anything that's in the collective, in the mainstream, in the collective that you're supposed to do, there's a reason for it, you know. And if, even if it's not nefariously planned by this group of people behind closed doors, it's a function of the collective consciousness, which we are all plugged into. And I think what's going on right now is a lot of people are waking up and realizing that there's a lot of lies out there, and they want to blame everybody else. When you actually, I think the correct way to, would be to just be grateful that you are able to see this, you know, blessed are you, for you have seen the things, you know, many wise men and holy men have wanted to see what you see and have not been able to see it. Well, that's your gift. You know, it's just like death. Death is an exit of this realm, or an exit of what we are right now. It's a gift. If you look at it in the correct way, right? It's moving on to the next stage of whatever this is. That's what death is. And a lot of people have fear and they don't want to die. And I'm not saying you should like go kill yourself or whatever, but like when it eventually happens, it is a gift. You know, if you could look at it from that point of view, and when it is, then you don't have the fear, and maybe you can make another choice. When you get to that light, you could turn around and make other choices, or you could negotiate a better contract because you don't have any fear. You know what I mean? You're like, wait a minute, man. You know, in this next life, I want to be tall and I want to be white. You know, I don't want to be, you know, I want to have beautiful hair, you know, Whatever it is, I think that without the fear, you're going to be able to at least make a better deal, right? Because for whatever reason, this realm, even if you look at it as a soul trap, well, if it is a soul trap and they're getting your energy, they need you. They need you then, right? You're the commodity. You're the one who's needed. So I think if you can realize your self-worth, and I think that's what happened, is a lot of people have lost their self-worth because of the way we're raised in society, and because of the way the society is structured, it kind of benefits on people hating themselves, right? Even that's what materialism benefits on. If we realize that we truly loved ourselves, then we wouldn't have to go out and try to impress people or try to just satisfy our desires at every moment. You know, we would find that there's actually more, and we could,
because we wouldn't be in fear and we'd be in confidence.
Yeah. See, this is why we say this is the best darn show on the internet. You know what I mean? Like, where else are you going to hear this amazing message of go fucking work on yourself? Go do it. You know, you don't want to. Just do it a little. Go do some Zentangle. Go do some, some yoga or breath work like we talked about last week with Peacemaker Bear. Shout out to him again. That was an amazing conversation. Yes. If you haven't seen that one, go back and watch that one.
Loved it.
You know, everybody has their kind of own path. And this is something I brought up too when I was talking to people about all this stuff with the Owen and the James Shrew. And I'm like, you know, a lot of people that I met and a lot of people who are on BTA and stuff, they don't even really listen to Owen. Well, some people don't even listen to him anymore or whatever. They just like the community. You know, they like Owen or whatever, but he's not for everybody. You know, you don't have to. It is a lot of content. And sometimes it's just too much for people or whatever it is, but they still have met a lot of like-minded people because of it. And they're still crushing, you know, like somebody asked me, they're like, you think the Bears would sustain without Owen Benjamin? Like if he went away, and I'm like, he wasn't at the National Festival. You know, all these people that I see, a lot of people I see that I know, do believe in the Trinity and do validate Paul, and Paul's like one of their guys. But they still like Owen just because they see the bigger picture, right? They see what's really going on, and they're not bothered by it because they realize that on some level, if it is true, it doesn't matter what some guy in a barn is saying about it. You know, it's just fun entertainment, and he's like a tent pole, I guess you could say. So that's what I would say to that. Don't let that keep you away from the Bears. You know, don't let Owen Benjamin, and I'm sure he would even say that, you know, he'd be like, don't let my points of view and my craziness or whatever it is, you know, not saying he's crazy, but this is what he might say. Don't let my gruffness or whatever keep you away from all these amazing people, because you're really at the end of the day just hurting yourself. You know, like I went away from Owen periods of my life. I didn't agree with what he was saying. And I was just like, oh, this guy's, I can't take it. You know, he's too much of this or that. But I've went and I met people because of it. And, you know, look at me and Sharon are great friends, and we've made a lot of great friends. So don't let anybody, what they're doing or saying, stop you from that community, because I think that that's what this is really about. It really is about you. It's not about Owen. It's about you who's listening to this and making your life better. And if you're going to get these people in your life and interact with them, and they're going to be better than the sheep that you claim to hate and all this stuff, you know, you're going to be able to build a community because of it. I say then build it. You know, I mean, I know people that are in the Owen that I've met through the Bears that still believe around a spinning ball, you know. Doesn't matter. You know, are they still cool? Can you trust them? You know, can you rely on them if you need them? Can they come help you build a chicken coop or with your garden or whatever it is, or just have a few laughs? Yeah. So who cares? You know, who cares what they think about all that stuff? That's just another way for a division. You know, there's so many half truths and things that you can hold on to it. And if you hold on too tight, you might ostracize everybody around you, when I feel like that's not what it's about. It's about that quote that we said in the beginning, you know?
Yeah. And again, they're prioritizing qualities of a person and character versus, you know, what they disagree about and silly things like that.
Yeah. And it's healthy. You know, you set your boundaries and you should have limits of things that, you know, you're like, listen, I'm not going to fucking go rob a bank with these people, or I'm not going to whatever it is, you know, like But at the end of the day, if you're just doing nothing but making your life better, it doesn't matter who else is saying what out there. You know, even if you think Archaics is like an evil person who's starting a religion, all those people then that need to be part of it, there's a reason why they're attracted to it. And maybe they'll figure it out for themselves that he's full of shit, you know. That's kind of what I would have to say. You know, we don't have to hold people's hands. Sometimes you have to learn the hard way. Sometimes the best way to learn that the stove is hot and that you shouldn't touch it is to get burned by it.
Yeah.
So, and this goes to, and if you're a fan of Archaics and you're mad at Owen or you're mad at James True or any of these people, you just got to realize it's just not for you. You know, sometimes stuff isn't for you and that's cool, but the oversharing is shows for everybody, right? So watch the show. Other than us, we're perfect.
We love everybody.
We love everybody except for that Ben Shapiro. I think there's something to be learned, but I am grateful for people like Owen, because he did break a lot of spells for some of the people that I watched, and I realized what was really going on. Like Jordan Peterson, when Owen started to go Jordan Peterson so many years ago, it was hard for me because I like Jordan Peterson. I read his book. I was telling everybody about him. But once I started to listen what Owen was saying, he was making these great points, right? And then I went into looked into it for myself, and I was like, oh yeah. Yeah, there's no the main message behind this isn't really a positive one, although it will get people started in a positive direction. It still goes back to, you know, listening to what the fucking government says or whatever the heck it is, you know, at the end of the day. So I am grateful for that. And that's why I'm glad that he is there and that he'll be there to kind of destroy false idols or attack sacred cows. And if he happens to attack your sacred cow, honestly, look at it. You know, maybe he's right. Maybe he's wrong. Maybe we're wrong. I don't know. Maybe you should.
Or maybe don't worry about it, because the truth needs no defense. You know, whatever's true will prevail.
Yeah.
For each person on their journey. Right.
And that's what I could say. If you're somebody who's thinking about the bears and what they are and you're not quite sure. Anytime I've ever went to a bear meetup, no one's ever trying to defend truth like that, you know, their own truth, I should say. No one's ever like, oh, no, you got to listen to Jesus and this is the way, you know. They're talking about the good, the true, and the beautiful, stuff like that. You know, they're talking about what they're up to and the funny stories from their lives. And it's a good time, you know. No one's ever really getting in there to prove anything that I've seen. And I feel like even if they start to do that in person, it's much different. In person, it's so much easier to attack someone online, or like in traffic, it's so much easier to yell at somebody, but you wouldn't yell to them right to their face, you know, like, so just get out there and meet people, you know, build community. Guess that's what I could say.
Yeah.
Wow. This has been a
do your thing. Listen to your intuition. Episode.
Yeah. Thank you, Sharon. This is, I feel like I really had to get a lot of this off my chest, and I feel like I've even learned stuff and kind of grown during this episode. Am I taller?
Could it be?
What's going on? I got to go measure myself again. I think I'm 6'6 now. Uh-oh.
I need to measure myself. I honestly don't even, I've been saying 5'4 for a long time. So who knows?
Hey, maybe you're 5'5 now.
Who knows?
Yeah, you never know. That would be pretty cool.
That'd be crazy, because I was allegedly 5'3¾. So I wasn't even exactly 5'4, allegedly. So
we're all moving up.
Moving on up.
Moving on up. And that's what I like about the Law of One, because that's what they talk about. It's all about
graduating to the next level
of consciousness. Yeah. And right now we're in this free will one, and
3D.
It's a tough one. Maybe it's the hardest one, but that's our charge at this time, is to just elevate our consciousness. Right. And I like how they say how everything repeats. So maybe we'll be back in this realm again, just in a different, whole different thing. And we'll be like, you know, arguing about sillier things, or, you know, who knows?
or just maybe doing something better.
Yeah. Well, I think that's about what we wanted to talk about in this episode. And it looks like it's been about an hour and a half. So unless there's anything else, you know, we could maybe plug. Guys, go to morelawsmoreproblems.com. That's my website. You could check it out. You could check out anything you want about oversharing there. Click on the Kaylee tab. She just did an episode recently with somebody. I'm forgetting his name right now, but it was really interesting. It was about 40 minutes, a little under 40 minutes. And she talked about a lot of the new age deception that's going on and veganism and her her experiences with trying to become a vegan and a vegetarian and all this stuff. And they talk about, you know, different realm stuff. It's very interesting. You could find all that on the Kaylee tab at morelawsmoreproblems.com. And you could also donate to the show there. You could comment on our videos. You could find us on all different ways. We're on Podbean, so that puts us to all the podcast catchers and stuff. So you can check us out wherever you get your podcasts, and you could just listen to us if you don't want to watch the videos. And yeah.
Shout out to the chat one more time before we say
shout out to the chat eternally. Thank you guys. You are the best. It's really my favorite day of the week is Thursday to be in here with such great people. And even if you don't totally agree with us, that's fine. Like we said before, you're wrong, but it's okay. No, I'm just kidding. Why don't you agree with us? No. But yeah, we always appreciate different points of views on what we're saying and everything, but it all comes back to the reflections and the self-work and not taking things personally, really, at the end of the day, because why, you know, just ask yourself, why does this person have to believe the same thing I do? Or why do they have to see what I see? Maybe it's just not their part of their path right now, you know?
Or why are they triggering me?
Or why are they triggering me? Exactly. The triggers are within.
Could it be?
Yeah. Well, thanks everybody for checking out the Oversharing Show. If this is your first time, thank you so much for checking out our show. And big thanks to all the Oversharing veterans who've been here since day one listening to the Oversharing. We'll see you guys in the chat. And we'll see you guys in our Telegram group that we have that if you want to be a part of, just let us know. And if we think you're worthy, we'll let you come on in. Yeah. So what do we say to the good people, Sharon?
That if you're not oversharing,
then you're totally not caring.
That's right.
So keep oversharing, everybody. And we'll see you
Sharon.
Next time. Later.